You are listening to the Doug Hagman Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagman.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagman, the Doug Hagman Investigative Hour for today. It is Monday, January 29th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. A lot to get into. Going to hit the ground running. First of all, obviously, tomorrow, the State of the Union Address by President Donald J. Trump. The flagship show, Hagman, the Hagman Report, will be covering the State of the Union Address tomorrow. We're going to be talking about it before and then covering it during in the last hour as it begins at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Very important, but equally, and if not more important, and this is the substance of today's program, is the release of the memo. Now, for those who don't know, over the weekend and right coming up to this past weekend, it was disclosed that the House Intelligence Committee will be meeting at 5 p.m. today in the Capitol. The meeting is going to give the committee, House Intelligence Committee, its first opportunity to vote on the question of releasing the what has been termed as the FISA abuse memo, and they will vote to release it. Now, this is split along party lines. Now, I know that you and I have dispensed with the R&Ds, the partisan politics. It's that's really it is the patriots or the constitutionalists versus the progressives. But along party lines, you've got to understand that the Republicans hold a 13-9 advantage on the committee. So it's pretty much a done deal that the memo will vote to release the memo, and it will be released. Now, this week will be the week that your kids, your grandchildren will look back in history, and perhaps you will as well, and say, this changed everything. And I believe that to be the case. I believe that this week will change everything. Because what we're looking at here is an exposure of treason so bad, it's going to rock the core, the foundations of our country. I truly believe that. This will be an incredible week. By the way, a couple of items I want to get into before the meat of the program. Early Saturday morning, I was contacted by Steve Quayle. And Steve Quayle told me that Greg Evenson passed away. Late Friday night, early Saturday morning. Greg Evenson, who actually was going to be on the Hagman Report earlier in the week. And very emotional time for me. Let me just say right out of the gate. Greg Evenson was a friend, a very good friend, he and his wife. And having spent time with him, I know them, a tremendous man, just an absolute tremendous man. Greg Evenson passed away. And he wanted to come on our show, and we made time for him. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday. And that's when he became ill, was sick. Just please pray for his wife, pray for his family, and keep everyone in your prayers. I mean, we're losing, and I spoke with Steve at length about this, we are losing people, true patriots, and too few are coming up within the ranks. And you'll have to excuse me for being a little emotional here. Again, I spent time with Greg Evenson in Montana, and elsewhere. Just a great guy, a very tremendous man. I can't say enough about him. Yeah, I can only hope that I will say a prayer for his family. Greg Evenson passed away this past week, Friday night, Saturday morning. Family at his side. Also, hey, by the way, I want to welcome SimplySafe.com as an advertiser to our show, SimplySafe.com/Hagman. I have to tell you that that's the best security system, bar none, in the country, SimplySafe.com. Visit SimplySafe.com/Hagman. That's SimplySafe.com/Hagman for all of your security needs. Look, I depend on SimplySafe.com/Hagman. I depend on SimplySafe for taking care of our security needs in our office, in our studio, as well as, most importantly, my home. When I leave my home in the morning, or for the show at night, I'm assured that SimplySafe has, well, they're on watch. And by the way, they have a camera system out now, very inexpensive. The whole system is inexpensive, but it's fantastic. I cannot say enough about it. SimplySafe.com/Hagman for details. But okay, so getting back to the program, getting into the areas that we need to talk about right now, is this will be the week that will change everything. The memo that's coming out, the FISA abuse memo, pay attention. It's four pages, and it's really an executive summary, just so people understand what this is all about. Because remember last week or the week before, there were some issues about, oh, the memo's out. No, it wasn't. This is a four-page document. It's a product of the House Intelligence Committee, and it details, or I should say it summarizes, systemic FISA surveillance abuses, specifically by Obama, by the Obama regime and the people surrounding Obama, against an incoming President Donald Trump, but also as a private citizen, as a presidential candidate, as a president-elect, and one could argue even as the President of the United States. All right, so it's a four-page document. It'll be released, but that's just the first part. That's just the first bullet out of the gun of exposure, because more is coming, and it will be much more damaging. I do believe there will be people who will go to jail. I do believe that there will be people involved that are named in this specific FISA abuse memo, including but not limited to, now listen to my words carefully here. You've got James Comey. You've got Rosenstein. You've got Weissman. You've got Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS. All of these names, whether or not they're going to be named in this particular executive summary, I don't know. But pay attention to the footnotes and the citations, because there you will find the smoking gun. Perhaps even literally in the attempts to take out our President Donald Trump, and to remove him from the planet. Look, as crazy as this sounds, this was a political assassination by a political hit team organized under Barack Hussein Obama, using the intelligence agencies as the method, as the tools to get the job done. And this also involves Hillary Clinton, as we all know. I'm not going to go through the entire litany of names. You can go back to the previous shows and you can listen as I map out things. But here's what's very important, I believe. This week, you've got the State of the Union on Tuesday. You've got the vote today. Whether or not that memo is the process is very simple. The House votes to release the memo. In this case, I see no reason why this memo, the vote will not be successful. That memo is then given to the president, and he has 5 days to either approve its release or decline it. And if he should decline it for whatever reason, and he won't, but if he would, it goes back to the House for a full House vote. Now, which, by the way, it would then succeed in being released. But he's not going to decline it. As a matter of fact, he's going to put it on the fast track for release. So watch in the next 24 hours for its complete release to the media or to the by the White House and by the House Intelligence Committee. But remember, this is only the first volley. This is the opening kickoff to this Super Bowl of everything that we're seeing, because I think people, everyone needs to understand. You and I need to really really need to understand the severity of the abuses that has gone on over the last 8 years, over the last 15 or 20 years, really over the last half century, if you want to get into it, and understand how the media has played such an integral role in everything. And by the way, this is kind of the thrust of today's program. I no longer will refer to the mainstream media as the mainstream media or the MSM. I'll keep the M in there, but that would stand obviously for Mockingbird. Now, I had a conversation this week with a couple of people, including my wife. I said, you know, the Mockingbird media, how do you like that? And she kind of cocked her head and looked at me and says, well, what do you mean? And I explained, of course, Operation Mockingbird, and she wanted to know more information about that because she's my litmus test. I have to tell you that she is my litmus test for people. She's very well grounded. So I bounce a lot of ideas off of her, a lot of information off of her, and she's right 99.9% of the time. Let me tell you that. She's correct that much. So I depend on her to really keep me grounded and focused on what the population knows or does not know. That's the key. When you and I talk, the audience of the Doug Hagmann radio show, of this program, you are so far advanced in your knowledge. And this is not to stroke you or, you know, blow smoke up your butt. This is just, I'm just telling you, if you're listening to this program, I know that you know so much more than the average person. And that's fantastic. So, but we forget sometimes that the general population doesn't know what we know. And it's easy to kind of... But where we make the mistake sometimes is gloss over that and think that people know as much as we do, which is problematic because you cannot have a conversation of any value with someone who's not up to speed on the events, on the very things that we're talking about. By the way, I do want to mention this, and this is related to obviously what I'm talking about, but Tracy Beans, who has been on our program a number of times. She's got a fantastic YouTube presence. She did a couple of videos this weekend. Now, she's in my view, she's a fantastic citizen, researcher, journalist, investigative reporter. She did one about Guccifer 2.0. Absolutely necessary for everyone to understand that, how that played into the DNC quote hack, which is not a hack, and the Russian narrative. But yesterday, which would have been Sunday, she did a fantastic video about the letters that went out concerning the memo that we're talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll put in the description box the link to her video. Because it's 30 minutes, and it's part one of, I don't have it right handy here, but she talks about the people involved in the FISA abuses. Very important, extremely important for you to understand. She gets into great detail, and that allows you to understand who's who and what's what, and more so than I can get into, for example, in depth without using visuals on this program. So just kind of an alert. Just all you have to do is search Tracy Beans, B-E-A-N-Z, in the event that it's not in the program description by the time this program is over. Now, the other issue, or the main issue here that I want to get into, is the role of the Mockingbird media. This is so important, and I haven't really discussed this as much as I need to. When we look at the abuses taking place, when we look at, for example, the surveillance abuses by Obama, the Obama regime, we know that the media is complicit in hiding certain things. Even today, what's the number one the primary thing that just drives the media insane about Donald Trump? It's when Donald Trump calls them fake news. Oh, you're fake news. And the relationship, you talk about a hostile relationship, it would be the equivalent of a very hostile ex-husband, ex-wife kind of relationship between Donald Trump and the press, but rightfully so. I would urge everyone to look at this from a different angle. Adjust your perception just a tad, because at the epicenter of the surveillance abuses is the false narratives that the media, the mockingbird media, as I will now refer to it henceforth, the mockingbird media, it is the enforcement arm, or the propaganda arm as we know it, but the, what would you call it? The advertising arm for the surveillance abuses. In other words, they're playing a very, very key role here. The mockingbird media is playing a very key role in a number of things, all important to what we're seeing play out today. They are lying by commission and omission. They are not reporting on the FISA abuse memo. They're not reporting on the abuses of Barack Obama. Or when they do, they are not telling everyone the truth. So it's lies by commission and omission. And I think that the what we're seeing here when Donald Trump comes out and calls them fake news and really has a problem, the animus toward the news media, the mockingbird media, he is telling us, Donald Trump is telling us, look, there is a problem here, and they are part of, they're a big part of the problem, as if, you know, you and I don't know this already. We do, but remember, others don't know about this. And when you talk about the Mockingbird media, Operation Mockingbird, many people have no idea what you're talking about. Or when you do talk about it, if you do, how many people say, oh, that's just conspiracy, that's just nonsense, oh, that's just, you know, you're reading too much fiction, Tom Clancy novels. How many people get that kind of response from your relatives, your friends, your coworkers? I would say many. But it's rooted, of course, in truth. In other words, what I'm saying is Operation Mockingbird, that was a real thing. And it's not a conspiracy theory. It is fact. I do want to play, and this is the only, I believe this is the only, Tammy, is this, okay, nodding ahead, yes. This is the only audio clip that I'll play for you in this segment. But to me, it's so important that we go back to 1975, the Church Committee in 1975. Remember that. Did you study about this? Did you see it in real time? What is the Church Committee? It was the United States Senate Select Committee to study governmental operations with respect to intelligence activities. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? Nothing new under the sun. Past is prologue. This was, I'm referencing now, the United States Senate Committee chaired by Idaho Senator Frank Church. He was a Democrat. This is back in 1975, where they outlined the committee investigated abuses by the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and the IRS. My goodness, nothing changes, does it? Same story, same notes, different time, right? Now, the Church Committee was part of a series of investigations into intelligence abuses during the mid-1970s. And this also encompassed the Watergate hearings, the Rockefeller Commission, and the Pike Committee. Now, one of the results of the committee's efforts was the establishment of the Permanent U.S. Select Committee on Intelligence. And here we are today. Enter Devin Nunes. So there's a lot of, I shouldn't say that's the House, but the Senate component, on the other side. You've got the House Intelligence, you've got the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Two separate things. Don't confuse them like I just did, and not meaning to do so. Of course, you've got the House Intelligence and the Senate Intelligence. You get the two counterparts. But let me take you back to the 1970s, because, and this is important, because what we're seeing today is evidence of that, evidence of abuses. Because by the early years of the 1970s, there were a number of troubling revelations that became evident concerning intelligence activities. Initially, there were revelations by Army Intelligence Officer Christopher Pyle back in January of 1970 of the U.S. Army's spying on the civilian population. Remember that name, Christopher Pyle, like Gomer Pyle, except Christopher. And this is back in January of 1970. And then Senator Sam Ervin's Senate investigations produced additional revelations. Fast forward to December 22nd, 1974. The New York Times published this lengthy article by Seymour Hersh, Cy Hersh, detailing operations engaged in by the CIA over the years that had been dubbed the Family Jewels. Now, covert action programs involving assassination attempts. Think about that. Okay. Against foreign leaders, of course, against foreign leaders, not against domestic leaders, and covert attempts to subvert foreign governments were reported openly for the first time. Additionally, the Cy Hersh article discussed efforts by intelligence agencies to collect information on political activities of U.S. citizens. This is back in 1975. What are we seeing today? Just to give you kind of an overview, in 1975 and 1976, the Church Committee published 14 reports on various U.S. intelligence agencies' formation operations and abuses of law and power that they had committed, with recommendations for reform. Now, some of those recommendations were later put into place, but think about this. Oh, the irony. Just so you know, though, the matters that were investigated during these committee hearings, for example, attempts to assassinate foreign leaders, including Patrice Lumumba of the Congo, and the Diem brothers of Vietnam, and I can go on and on and on, but you can find this out, of course, through your research and investigation. But there were some recently declassified documents by the National Security Archive. The Church Committee also helped to uncover the NSA's watch list. The information for the list was compiled into the so-called rhyming dictionary. That's R-H-Y-M-I-N-G, rhyming dictionary of biographical information. Now, at its peak, it held millions of names, thousands of which were U.S. citizens. And some prominent members of the list included Joanne Woodward, Walter Mondale, Art Buchwald. And to my younger audience out there, look these names up. Gregory Peck, Howard Baker, Frank Church, Ralph Abernathy, and I could go on. But think about that in relation, with respect to what we're seeing play out today. But among the most shocking revelations of the Church Committee was the discovery of Operation Shamrock, in which the major telecommunications companies shared their traffic with the NSA. from 1945 through the early 1970s. And the information gathered in this operation fed directly into that watch list that I referenced, the rhyming dictionary. Now, in 1975, the committee decided to unilaterally declassify the particulars of this operation against the objections of President Gerald R. Ford's administration. Now, under the recommendations and pressure by the Church Committee, Ford issued Executive Order 11905. This was replaced in 1981, and how many, this should ring a bell now. Think. I'm going to give you this executive order number, and a light bulb is going to go off in your head. Maybe it's already there. Maybe you're fast ahead of me. But you see, this church committee, under the recommendations of the church committee, President Ford issued Executive Order 11905, but it was replaced in 1981 by President Ronald Reagan. The executive order number, here it is, 12333. And that was to ban U.S.-sanctioned assassinations of foreign leaders. But how many? Doesn't that ring a bell? Oh, I seem to recall Executive Order 12333. But together, the Church Committee's reports have been said to constitute the most extensive review of intelligence activities ever made available to the public. Now, much of the contents were declassified, but over 50,000 pages were... much of the contents were classified, but we have been... There have been 50,000 pages made available to us under the JFK Assassinations Records Collection Act of 1992. Now, for those people out there who are saying, oh, this didn't, or, you know, minimizing this, today's episode, the dots that will connect will be so critical. It's going to lay the foundation for the rest of the week in terms of what we will be seeing happen this week. And this week will be a game changer. And from the revelations this week, I'm going to tell you right now, there will be arrests, there will be convictions, people will go to jail. Now, if you're thinking Hillary Clinton, I don't know. But some of the lower hanging fruit, I have no doubt in my mind that this will happen. And perhaps, just perhaps, maybe some big names. I'm not taking anything off the table. It's going to depend on how much you and I as citizens demand, because you and I have made a difference. If you have made a call to your representative saying, release the memo, as I have, demanding its release, you have made a difference already. And we are making a difference, but we have to keep the pressure on. But before I go any further, I'm going to play a 3-minute audio segment. This is from the church committee. This is the news in 1975. Compare it, contrast it to where we are today. This is so critical to understand. So, okay, let's cue up the 3-minute segment. This is about and from the church committee in 1975. And in there, first of all, you're going to hear Frank Church, the chairman of the church committee. And then, so you're going to hear Senator Frank Church, the Democrat from Idaho, speaking about the House Intelligence Committee hearing in 1975. And then another voice is going to come on, and that's Sig Mikkelsen, who was the president of CBS News from 1954 to 1961. And then you've got a third voice, and that's during the questioning, the CIA, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency from 1975. All right? So those are the voices you're going to hear in this audio clip. Oh, and by the way, who was the director of the CIA back in 1975? None other than William Colby. All right, without further ado, go ahead and run the clip. This referencing the Church Committee, 1975. Here it is.
I thought that it was a matter of real concern that planted stories intended to serve a national purpose abroad came home and were circulated here and believed here, because this would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. Now, we're looking at that very carefully.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
We have quite a lot of detailed information, and we will evaluate it, and we will include any evidence of wrongdoing or any evidence of impropriety in our final report and make recommendations.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Senator, do you think that you named the news organizations in your final report?
That remains to be decided.
I think it was entirely in order for our correspondents at that time to make use of CIA agent chiefs of station and other members of the executive staff of CIA as sources of information which were useful in their assessments of world conditions.
Say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
There it is, perhaps the most important piece of audio that relates to what we're seeing today. This, back in 1975, almost 50 years ago, 43 years ago, I should say, 43 years ago, and we're seeing the same thing happen today. Allow me to reiterate perhaps what I think is one of the most important 15 seconds of that audio clip, because it exists today, despite of the revelations of the Church Committee, despite of everything, it exists today. And when you hear this, again, this is from that segment, that the most important 15 seconds where you've got Colby, the head of the CIA, verifying that, yes, the news in the United States is being manipulated by the Central Intelligence Agency, by the CIA. Now, this, again, this will come as no surprise to you. I know that. But again, 43 years ago, and here we are today. Listen again, just to this one 15-second segment, so important, I think, so critical, and really is, it relates to exactly what we're seeing today.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks.
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
Okay, that latter part, we need to talk about this behind closed doors. Of course, yes, we do have plants in the media. Yes, we do have operatives that are peddling this propaganda. That's a definite yes, and it has come out since that time. Now, consider all of that in the context of what President Donald Trump is saying today. Fake news. You're fake news. This is exactly what he's talking about. Of course, 43 years later, but in different faces, different names, but the same template. This is so critical for everyone to understand, because what this FISA process, the other part of this FISA abuse, the surveillance abuse, the other part of this that no one right now is talking about, but they will. And believe me when I tell you, this will come out. The other half of this is when the weaponized intelligence, the Russian narrative that has been propagated throughout the Mockingbird media, there are people that are being paid by the intelligence apparatus in the United States to peddle the Russian narrative, which goes back to 43 years hence. This goes back to why it was so critical for Fusion GPS, the bank records, to be exposed and produced and exposed. Because what is taking place is you've got the entire Russian narrative that is a product of the weaponization of our intelligence services. But the other component, a critical component to this, is the media. They've got to sell this to the American public. And the gullible American public, the progressives, either complicit or ignorant, doesn't matter. They are parroting the same line. And this is why we've got President Donald Trump changing everything. And the media has become an enemy of freedom, an enemy of the truth. This is why it's so important. You heard it. You heard it. This was an admission by the CIA that yes, this has been taking place, of course, 43 years ago, 1975. But now it's different. It's actually been more refined since then. It never stopped. Despite the church committee, it never stopped. So a couple of parts today, and the takeaway from today's program, obviously, is the news that's going to be made this week. And watch who won't talk about this, even in the independent media. This is so critical, because I'm here to tell you there are operatives inside the internet world, the independent media, who have been compromised who have been compromised in our mouthpieces for this weaponized intelligence. They are no better than back in the day that you just heard on those audio clips. And I'm not going to name names. I think you can determine based on your own research who these people are. Think of the people with bigger footprints. And I would direct you to, for example, to uncover some of this. I would direct you to people like Kevin Shipp, who is on the inside of the CIA and knows exactly what's going on. Which is why, and I'm kind of circling back around, Tracy Beans, who is doing exemplary research herself, has uncovered some things, and I know that she knows this, but I wonder how many people are seeing the veil being ripped away. It's very subtle, at least at the beginning, until it'll smack you then right in the face. You'll say, oh, okay, I see it now. Sometimes when you're doing an investigation, you're so embedded or so enmeshed in all of the details that sometimes some details just escape. But this should smack everyone in the face. Now I understand why Donald Trump is saying, okay, you're fake news. Now I understand why, for example, Donald Trump is really declared war on the media, because the media, of course, as we have known, you and I, but others don't, is really an operational tool of the intelligence, weaponized intelligence. Think about this when you watch, for example, Anderson Cooper, and these are examples, or maybe not. Think about this when you watch Anderson Cooper or Jim Acosta or others. Think about all of this in the context of the revelations of the Church Committee and the, as I stated earlier, Operation Mockingbird. It is not actually planting stories in the media overseas anymore. It is now directly here in the United States. And what was recently passed, what was that? Was it an executive order? Was it a bill that was passed to allow propaganda here in the media as a weapon? Do you remember that? That recently came out, didn't it? Okay, what I'm referring to, and my apologies, I didn't mean to be snarky here about this. What I'm referring to is something that happened in late 2016. All right, right before Christmas, with everybody embracing the upcoming holidays, something happened. Obama quietly signed into law the 2017 NDAA. Now, that authorized some $611 billion for the military in 2017. That was obvious. Now, in a statement, here's what Obama said. He said that today, I have signed into law S-2943, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2017. Now, this act authorizes fiscal year 2017 appropriations principally for the Department of Defense and for the Department of Energy national security programs. It provides vital benefits for military personnel and their families, and on and on and on. Now, okay, but with that passage, or while that passage of the NDAA and the funding of the U.S. military, that was no surprise at all. The most important part of that, the biggest news, is what was buried deep inside the provisions of that act. And many people took notice, and think of the timing as well. 2016, December 2016. When were the elections? November, all right? Now, in early June of 2016, there was a bill to implement the United States, their own de facto Ministry of Truth. It was quietly introduced in Congress. And this was called the Countering Information Warfare Act of 2016. It was a Senate Bill 2692. It was introduced in March of 2016 by Senator Rob Portman. The legislation, it represented a very dramatic return to Cold War era government propaganda battles. Now, just fast forward to December 8th of 2016, when the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act passed in the Senate. Quietly inserted inside the 2017 NDAA was this provision, this countering propaganda provision. And so what does that mean, you might be asking? Well, this permits, how can I best summarize this? The Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act, it was legislation designed to, now this is the official story. It was designed to help American allies counter foreign government propaganda, specifically from Russia, China, and other nations, but Russia. And it's been signed, it was signed into law as part of the 2017 NDAA. Now, written about this is the fact that our enemies are using foreign propaganda and disinformation against us and our allies. And so far, the U.S. government has been asleep at the wheel. This according to Senator Portman from Ohio. But today, he said, the United States has taken a critical step towards confronting the extensive and destabilizing foreign propaganda and disinformation operations being waged against us by our enemies. With this bill, which is now law, we are finally signaling that enough is enough, that the United States will no longer sit on the sidelines. We are going to confront this threat head on. I am confident that with the help of this bipartisan bill, the disinformation and propaganda used against us, our allies, and our interests will fail. In other words, what they have done is they have legalized, they have allowed through the NDAA, as Obama is walking out the door, they have allowed this disinformation campaign, this propaganda, they've legalized this. And consider that with the likes of the Washington Post having already primed at that time the public to equate, quote, Russia propaganda with fake news, despite, by the way, admitting after the fact their own report was fake itself, and while the U.S. media has indoctrinated the public to assume that any information which is not in compliance with the official government narrative or dares to even criticize the government is fake news and thus falls under the Russia propaganda umbrella. And the scene is now set at that point for the government to legally crack down on every media outlet that the government deems to be foreign propaganda. This is from the 2017 NDAA, signed into law, signed by Obama. What are we seeing today? What are we seeing today with respect to Twitter, the censorship on Twitter, Facebook, all of the social media platforms, and also the demonetization of YouTube and other platforms by the honest media, by the independent media? So in this episode, I've taken you back to 1975, 43 years ago, when the revelations about the propaganda machine, the CIA, they've been planting stories. In fact, more than that, they actually had operatives in the media, the print media, the Washington. You got to think back, the Washington Post. Think back, Walter Cronkite. Think back to the entirety, the landscape of the media. Fast forward 42 years, when Obama signed into law the NDAA that contained the provision that legalized the making of propaganda, which had the additional effect, the force multiplier, of attacking the honest media, which we see playing out today. So when you take a larger look at everything and connecting the dots here, this is something, this what we're seeing today played out back in the 70s. It was exposed back in the 70s. It didn't stop. As a matter of fact, they refined the methods. So today, well, fast forward to late 2016, when Obama signed the propaganda provision that was buried deep inside the 2017 NDAA, which allowed the government or legalized the government into pushing fake news propaganda at the same time coming down hard on the alternative or new media, the honest media platforms like this. Now, isn't it all coming together? Can you see now when Donald Trump looks and points and says fake news? This is precisely what he's talking about. And every one of us should understand the depth of what is going on here. Donald Trump, by the way, is brilliant in his handling of this. And this is why the media has taken offense to this. It's almost as if you catch a teenager, your teenage daughter, son, or whatever, going through your purse or your wallet. Oh, I didn't do that. My goodness. Oh, you know, how dare you accuse me of that? Or your wallet's on the table and somebody, and the only other person would be your son or daughter, and the money's gone from your wallet or purse. This, the analogy here is the same, but the reaction by the media is what's important. How dare you accuse us? How dare you accuse me of doing this? And if they say it long enough and hard enough, sometimes you think, well, wait a minute, huh? Was my wallet there or purse there? Was it, did anyone else perhaps have access to that? Their reaction is so visceral. Sometimes you have to stop. Sometimes it causes you to kind of think, wait, did anyone else perhaps have access to that? In other words, you begin questioning yourself. That's exactly what's happening, but Donald Trump has turned the tables and is saying fake news, and he's 100% accurate. Brilliant strategy, but he's exposing this. And how this is going to come into play this week, and please pay attention, because now it is now, everything will be revealed beginning this week. This week will be a game changer. And it's going to be bloody, really. This is going to leave a mark on the globalists. But more importantly, the biggest globalist of them all, this is going to point directly to Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoro. Which is why, on our flagship show last Friday, I had specifically asked Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo to come on last Friday to talk about the identity of Barack Hussein Obama. If you didn't happen to catch that, it is segmented. It's a standalone segment from our show on Friday. You can go to our YouTube channel, HagmanReport.com, click on the YouTube channel, and it's there. It talks about who Barack Hussein, they talk, meaning Carl Gallops and Mike Zullo, talk about who Barack Hussein Obama really is, and consider that Barack Hussein Obama is a creation in part of the CIA. Take Operation Mockingbird to the next level. Consider who Obama is, if you can, because who he is really is not, I mean, what the public understands of him, his meteoric rise from a junior senator from Illinois to president of the United States in this remarkable time, and despite having a Muslim name, Barack Hussein Obama, six, seven years after 9/11 and being elected president, think about that for a moment. Do some critical thinking, and I'm not trying to be racist at all, or with respect to mentioning his name. What I'm telling you is that Obama is most definitely a Trojan horse that was placed into that position by the very same intelligence apparatus that is being exposed today. Have you noticed how Donald Trump is erasing the legacy of Barack Hussein Obama step by step by step, how he has been erasing the legacy? And have you noticed how Obama has not left Washington? Have you noticed how Obama, who heads Organizing for Action, has created these speed bumps designed to stop or impede the forward progress of President Donald Trump? All of this connects. When you look at this from a 30,000 foot cruising altitude, all of this, the dots begin to connect like, it is an incredible sight to behold. Finally now, we are seeing the disclosure that we've been asking for. And really, it all starts this week. In earnest, that is, we are going to see the confluence of events for the last half a century, from Operation Mockingbird, the disclosure thereof, through the NDAA, the propaganda. Devin Nunes, the hero, one of the heroes in this, is Devin Nunes and his House Intelligence Committee exposing this in a four-page executive summary, which is the first volley of many more to follow. And another player in this is Michael Horowitz. And Tracy Beans, I believe, did a tremendous job in explaining who Michael Horowitz is. I think it was Tracy Beans. My goodness. Michael Horowitz, despite being appointed by Obama, that is, he is a law and order man to the max. You'll have to look at, and if I can find it, I watched so many, I did so much research on various individuals in preparation of this week, because this week, don't plan on getting much sleep this week. Don't plan on getting much rest this week. This week is going to, and that's what I told the staff here at the Hagman Report, don't plan on going home much this week, because this week will be the game changer. But Michael Horowitz, a big part of, really a hero, as with, in addition to Michael Horowitz, as with Devin Nunes, I'm telling you right now, you're going to see the information coming out that's going to lay bare for everyone to see exactly what the media has been doing, exactly what the intelligence community under Obama has been doing against the will of the people and against Donald Trump. And this will, look, I'm telling you, media's, Joe Scarborough, Cooper, Chris Matthews, their heads are going to explode on television when this hits the fan. Don't forget Mike Rogers, Michael Horowitz, Devin Nunes. As I said, all of these people are true American patriots today. So buckle in, because this week is going to be like no other in modern American history. Whereas we did not, 1975, the internet was not like it was, or it did not exist in 1975. Now we've got the internet. Now we've got the force multipliers of widespread communications on our side. Gab, AI, Twitter, Facebook, to whatever extent they could be used to spread the word. Trust me when I tell you this will be a week to remember, from the State of the Union tomorrow to the vote today, later today, to release the FISA memo. It's all going to begin this week. The hot war across the landscape, in the political landscape in the United States. And I don't care if you're listening to this in the UK or Australia, it's going to affect you as well. Folks, if you like what you heard in this program, please tell others about it. And also, go to Blog Talk Radio and click on the follow this program so you'll be notified of bonus programs that I'll be doing. That's the Doug Hagman Radio Show. May God bless you. Buckle up. It's going to be a week to remember.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.